This is Soliloquy, the ramblings of a madwoman with a soothing voice.
It's a time loop insomnia. I lay down, I sleep, and then I wake moderately rested. But I'm that cell phone you took off the charge at only 65%. I'm rested enough. I will not crash. I will not die. While you certainly dig through a pile of miscellaneous stuff you've amassed on your bed searching for a charger still plugged into your forgetful wall. Well, then why is it a loop? That is a fantastic question, my cynical auditory hostage. You ever see the movie Groundhog's Day? If not, Google it. If you'd prefer a more modern adaptation, an episode of Stand Against Evil has the same trope, and so do several others. Either way, I think you have a basic understanding from the name alone. Now in these loops, you wake up after you go to bed, or die in some cases, and you're right back where you started. Disoriented, confused, scared. And after you do this a few more times, it's more of an annoyance building into frustration before it explodes into a full-blown pain in your ass. Now it goes, you're trapped in this fucked up noose of a day looping over and over till you become a better person or complete your task. But let me ask you this. What if there's no improvement to be made? Not because you don't need it, you conceited festering pile of shit. There's just no exit. That's what it feels like. I'm a grain of sand in an hourglass slowly falling through my day. Then I hit the bottom and I sleep, but when I wake, I'm falling all over again. I'm not rested enough for it to be a new day. I'm falling from an opening from the same ancient timepiece, repeating every day, even though each one is different. I wish it wasn't like that. I can't breathe. I'm being buried by the other grains of sand that are supposed to crush me into oblivion, and they never come. I'm sleeping less and less. 7 hours over weeks receded into 4 to 5 hours. It's a flaccid blessing, and madness ensues. I can't say when it started. I'm not really sure if it slipped in during those early days of childhood masquerading as a vivid imagination. Maybe it's not there at all. And my psyche, in all of its infinite wisdom, has decided that in celebration of my 30th birthday, it would bestow upon me weathering sanity as a last fuck you to my already shitty mental health. Whatever the case, it really doesn't matter. Real or not, I'm not all too keen on what I'm seeing. I'm a heavy insomniac, with 2 cats and a sleeping husband in a bed I should also be slumbering in. You know, instead of typing out physical evidence of my own descent into madness whilst listening to Fertie Lise on Pandora. I've heard Spotify is better, but the format confuses me. He's there again. I can see him clear as day in my peripheral vision. It's a man in an army combat uniform. He's burned. Badly. I see his blue eyes screaming with the absolute agony he must be in, his blackened, charred flesh cloaking any hints of an ethnicity with exposed pink meat under cracks of what remains of his dermis. I'm pretty sure he's always been around. I don't think Army Guy is an angel or a guardian spirit. Nah, he's just sort of there. He's never steered me to or from danger, nor has he offered me any lottery numbers or cryptic clues on hidden treasure. As for talking to him, something in the back of my mind just shrieks not to. So, I don't. I started seeing him in the 4th grade. Now, to be clear, this isn't a ghost story, or anything of the sort. This isn't even a story. This is just a one-sided conversation that you, my dear, have had the moderate misfortune of coming across. Another one. Always slightly moving out of my line of sight, making sure I'm aware of their presence. They never ask for more. They don't beg or beckon. They just watch intently. I'm not gifted or chosen or special. I am insane. The calm kind of insanity that Mr. Davidson, you know, that sweet, ancient, retired man that lives 1 or 2 houses down the way, he overall keeps to himself. But he's friendly enough, showing up to neighborhood events and polos in the summer and Argyle sweaters deemed too stiff for playing to be ugly holiday sweaters. Erica, his wife, she was always the friendly one, always the social one. She passed spring about 3 years back. Yes, that dotty, plain old man. He's been killing cats. Did you know that? Like some sort of fucked up science experiment done by that one kid in your class that definitely grew up to be Norman Bates 2.0. That kind of insanity. Like Bundy, BTK, and many others, it's a soothsayer. An insanity woven into normalcy that you don't see coming. God, I really need to get some sleep. She's wet ink, dripping, alive, powerful. She taints everything she touches, be by mistake or design. She smears darkness all around her, all consuming. I can feel her scratching to be let out or let in. I know her name, the same curse revisited over the years. Speaking her name is the poison that ails me and the remedy to all the sicknesses I can't seem to admit I suffer from. Even now, I feel that cold embrace, as if being wrapped in soft, cool tile when you have a fever. That temporary comfort that almost makes me forget what she's capable of. In the wee hours of the morning, when insomnia weakens my mental fortitude, the warmth of her nostalgia, the ink diluting in water, that gnarled root entwined with my psyche, her love, that amour that pushes everyone away so she can coil herself around me all the tighter. No one else may love me. My value is only what she assigns to me. She's more of an incredibly fucked up genie, and I, Aladdin, wishing to be royalty in her rebuttal to make me Marie Antoinette before her beheading. So I don't ask her to save me, even when I know she can. I don't plead nor beg, I just ignore her and get on with my own power, my own will. I keep thinking it'll keep her at bay. It doesn't. This is deja vu. I feel like I've said this with different words not too long ago, but she's getting closer. No longer banging on the door for freedom, instead patiently scratching at the door. I can see the wood shavings piling up, claws dragging across wood. Digging in with the control not to fracture or splinter the barrier that separates us, but to slowly erode. After all, madness is no longer a loud clap of thunder. It slowly forces its way in. You feel it, and you're just strong enough to keep it at bay. But we're human. We get tired. We slip. I'm so tired. I don't know how long I can keep this up. She's in the room with me again, casually curled up in the darkness. She blends in well. She's also not real. I keep having to remind myself that there is no scary monster. There is no D. She is not real, and yet I am never bold enough to look up. Her long black nails teasing the edges of my vision. The movement of that prehensile tail. Just enough for my eyes to detect I know what she's doing. The insomnia makes it easier for this figment of my imagination to do things. I'm a glass of water and she's poured in her ink, her venom. It's all she's capable of offering, her guarantee. Her will to taint me until I am so vile I drown in my own illness. She's trying to take my place. She whispers how others like her better and how I'm trying to convince myself it's a lie, but I'm so tired. I think she's right. She's not real and she's winning. Just what kind of horrible, messed up experiment did whatever higher power I can blame do to me? I feel sick. I feel sick. I feel sick. I feel sick. I just want to go away. I just want it all to stop. I just want to be happy. Why can't you let me have this?
I've missed you, my lovely.
Thank you for listening to the very first episode of Soliloquy. Comfortable Mystery 2 by Kevin MacLeod. Time Passes by Kevin MacLeod. Darkest Child by Kevin MacLeod. Sound effects by Zapsplat.com.